So good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining. We really appreciate it. Again, I'm Mark Totten, U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Michigan. I'm joined today by Special Agent in Charge Shay Gibson of the FBI Detroit Field Office. In November of 2022, my office, working very closely with FBI, charged three Nigerian nationals in a sextortion scheme that resulted in the death of Jordan DeMay, a 17-year-old high school student from Marquette, Michigan, and targeted more than 100 other individuals as well. Back in August of 2022, we announced the extradition of two defendants, Samuel Ogashi, age 22, and then Samson Ogashi, age 20, of Lagos, Nigeria. In April of this year, both defendants pled guilty and will be sentenced on September 5th, in just little over a month here. Today, I'm announcing a separate but related case charging five individuals, all U.S. citizens located in the United States now and at the time of the alleged criminal activity. These individuals, we allege, facilitated this sextortion scheme by receiving payments from the victims and transferring the money to Nigeria, ultimately to those carrying out the scheme that resulted in the death of Jordan DeMay and victimized many others. The charged defendants are as follows: Jonathan Demetrius Green, age 32, of Stone Mountain, Georgia; Jarrell Devon Williams, age 31, of McDonough, Georgia; Dinsamore Guyton Robinson, age 30, of Huntsville, Alabama; Kendall Ormond London Jr., age 32, of Lithonia, Georgia; and then finally, Brian Keith Coldman Jr., age 30, of Stone Mountain, Georgia. Each defendant is charged with a single count of conspiracy to commit money laundering, which carries a maximum sentence of 20 years. Of course, I'll just remind you, as I always do, that a charge is merely an accusation. The defendants are presumed innocent until proven guilty. I can share that FBI arrested the defendants yesterday, and each defendant appeared in federal court for their initial appearance. Now, let me say something more about the specific charge the specific crime that we've charged in this case, and then also about the alleged criminal conduct. First, a word about the specific crime. Money laundering is a federal crime that covers financial transactions that involve the proceeds of some criminal activity, where the goal is often to conceal the criminal nature of those proceeds. Or stated simply, money laundering is the act of trying to disguise dirty money as clean. Here, we've alleged that the defendants committed the crime of conspiracy to commit money laundering. In other words, we allege the defendants knowingly agreed to conduct or attempt to conduct financial transactions involving the proceeds of a crime, knowing that the transactions were designed to conceal the underlying crime. Now, let me also say something about the alleged criminal conduct here. As Samuel and Samson Ogashi have admitted in their plea agreements, the Nigerian-based sextortionists pretended to be a young woman in social media accounts and encouraged teenage boys and young men to send sexually explicit images. Once the victims produced and sent those images, the sextortionists immediately turned to blackmail their victims for money, threatening to send those images to others, including their friends, their family, even their classmates. The sextortionists instructed their victims to send money to designated financial accounts through various cash applications, the kind of applications that people routinely use on their cell phones. These financial accounts were controlled by the defendants in the case that we're announcing today, that is, by the U.S.-based money launderers. They would keep a portion of their funds, a portion of the victims' funds for themselves. Typically, it was about 20%. And then they would convert the rest into Bitcoin, which they would send to Nigeria and ultimately into the hands of the Nigerian sextortionists. We've alleged that the U.S.-based defendants laundered at least $178,658 in funds from the sextortion scheme. Among these alleged financial transactions that were conducted by the U.S.-based defendants was a transaction that involved an individual we've identified in the indictment as victim one. I'll share with you, based on the permission of the parents, that victim one was Jordan DeMay. On March 25th, 2022, Jordan DeMay sent $300 through a cash application to defendant Jonathan Green. Now, stepping back for a moment, I want to say something about why this case matters. Cell phones and the internet provide enormous benefits, of course, but what people often fail to realize is that they make us vulnerable to criminal networks around the world. That's true for adults, and it is especially true for children and teenagers. At a practical level, these schemes often rely on people in the US who have easy access to cash applications that victims here use and who can receive the funds from victims and then convert them into some form that foreign-based criminals can use. Here, as we've alleged, it was Bitcoin. The Department of Justice, FBI, our other federal partners are 100% committed to doing everything we can to protect Americans from these foreign-based criminal schemes, whether it's sextortion, romance schemes, some type of consumer fraud, or something else. Disrupting these criminal networks means holding accountable those in the United States who facilitate these crimes. And so certainly one message from today's announcement is clear. If you are in the money laundering business, we will track you down and we will hold you accountable. Lastly, before I turn it over to SAC Green, I just want to say, SAC Gibson, I just want to say thanks to the incredible team that is working this case. You know, FBI's investigative work here has been simply phenomenal. Relentless, chasing down every lead, swift, thorough, and smart. I am so grateful to SAC Gibson and his team for the work they've done. I also want to say thanks to my team, and especially to AUSA Davin Roost, who has just done incredible work and has been the lead prosecutor on the case. With that, I will turn it over to SAC Gibson, and then happy to take a few questions at the end. SAC Gibson.
So good morning, and thank you, U.S. Attorney Totten. Again, my name is Shea Gibson. I'm a special agent in charge here of the FBI, which covers the entire state of Michigan. I'd like to thank the U.S. Attorney and his office for inviting me to participate this morning. I would also like to thank our media partners who are in attendance today. With your assistance, we can bring awareness to combat sextortion, which affects our community here in Michigan. The men and women assigned to FBI Michigan are dedicated to investigating, disrupting, and arresting those who violate the law, and in this case, sextortion. The U.S. Attorney explained what money laundering is and how that crime led to the defendants ultimately being charged. In this case, these defendants used various online money exchange programs in addition to cryptocurrency to mask the origin of the funds which they profited. At the end of the day, these schemes are all about money, but they come at a very painful price. Money laundering can have a direct contribution to funding foreign-based scams. Sextortion and other scams jeopardize human lives, and perpetrators have begun threatening victims with violence. And in some cases, perpetrators have directed victims to cause harm to themselves. I'd like to take a moment to reassure the residents of Michigan and those affected by these crimes. The FBI is here to assist you. Although these crimes may affect anyone, I want to make sure that our youth who are listening and their guardians and parents and support system or anyone else who needs assistance, we are here to bring awareness to this growing problem so you and your loved ones don't become victims. Our special agents and support staff are working around the clock to disrupt individuals and groups who target our community. We will pursue anyone who violates the law, including those bad actors who launder money and participate in sextortion schemes. If you would like to report information regarding a crime, contact the FBI at 1-800-CALL-FBI. Again, that's 1-800-CALL-FBI, or report the crime online at tips.fbi.gov. Again, tips.fbi.gov. Thank you to our media partners, U.S. Attorney Totten, your team, the FBI case agent and intelligence analyst who ensured justice in this case, our Atlanta and Birmingham field office who provided support, and the community for their continued support and commitment to justice. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Zach Gibson, and thanks, U.S. Attorney Totten. At this time, we will open it up for questions from the press. Again, please use the raise your hand function, and I will call on individual media outlets. So give it a second for hands to be raised. Were there any questions? I'm not seeing any.
Tiff, I'm seeing one, WLUC.
Oh, thanks, Mark. I didn't see it.
Elizabeth Peterson.
Yeah, this is Elizabeth Peterson. I just have a few questions. Are you able to tell us how many victims that $178,000 involved?
So at this point in time, that's not a detail that we're able to share. Certainly, I can say, as has been the case with the Ogashi case, the investigation is ongoing. We're going to stick to what we've mentioned in the indictment. We did say previously in terms of the Ogashi case that there were over 100 victims in addition to Jordan DeMay, but I don't have any more details on that right now.
Okay. And then one other question. Can you just elaborate a little bit more on, you know, how critical the work done in the Jordan DeMay case was to getting to this point, to making the arrests and the charges that you have in this particular investigation and in that case as well?
Well, I guess I'll just say on SAC Gibson, I'm happy to if you want to add anything here as well. I'll start out and just say that this is all one scheme. Right. This is a separate case. It's a related case. We anticipate it will go before the same judge that is hearing the Ogashi case because of that connection. But there's one scheme here. And the five people that we are charging today were the people based in the United States who were laundering the money when the victims were blackmailed. If they sent money, they would send it to the five defendants. As I explained earlier, Jordan DeMay sent a $300 payment to one of the five defendants, Jonathan Green. And so the investigation has looked at every aspect of the scheme. And again, the investigation is ongoing, and we'll just have to see where it leads.
Okay, thank you so much.
So one additional point that I'd like to add with regard to the significance of the Jordan DeMay case and the spinoff into this case. As you guys may be aware, the Jordan DeMay case led to the first foreign extradition of the defendants from Nigeria, which is huge for the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office. Most recently, Director Christopher Wray traveled abroad and met with our international partners in Nigeria and conveyed his appreciation for working with us internationally and allowing us to extradite those defendants back to the United States so they can be held accountable. So again, I just want to foot stomp how important that piece is. This case led to the first foreign extradition of defendants to be held accountable here in the United States from Nigeria. So that is huge, and it just demonstrates the reach of the FBI into foreign countries to hold those accountable who have a negative impact and are victimizing our folks here in Michigan and across the United States.
All right, thank you. We'll go to Matt with Wood TV, and then Elizabeth, I'll come back to you.
Awesome, thanks so much. I just wanted to clarify one quick point about the $178,000. Is that the total that we expect that these five U.S. defendants were able to keep, or the total amount of money that was collected from the victims?
It was It represented at least the total amount of money collected from the victims.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Looks like John Agar with M Live has a question.
Oh, hi. What I wanted to know, how do these guys in the U.S., the Georgia guys, how are they connected to the Nigerians? How do they get hooked into them?
So we're not at a point right now where we can share any more details about how the connection happened, other than the fact that there was a connection. There was an individual, and you'll see in the indictment, there's an individual who was referred to as the plug, who was connected with the Nigerian sextortionists, and then was also connected to the US-based sextortionists who would receive the money from the defendants that we have charged today. But I don't have any more details at this time that I can share about how those connections were made.
Okay, Elizabeth, did you have another question?